You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Hello, my friends. It's Thursday, March 27th, 2025, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belleville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in my undisclosed mountain hideaway in the beautiful state of Jefferson region of Southern Oregon. Plenty to talk about on today's show. We're going to begin with a look at Orange Cheeto Mussolini and just how odious and disgusting this man is as the leader of our country, as the president of the United States. Just a few clips and stories to once again let us know we are living in the worst possible timeline. That includes a timeline where a woman known for murdering a dog, Kristi Noem, the former governor of South Dakota and now currently the head of our DHS, has made a despicable promotional video for our atrocities we are committing in El Salvador. We're going to follow up on what's happening with what has been dubbed Signalgate, because that's the rule now. Anything that's a scandal, you have to put gate on the end of it. God forbid we ever have a scandal involving gates or water. I don't know what the hell they'll call it. But anyway, the latest updates on Signalgate, because the whiskey leaks have been released and everybody is recognizing what an obvious liar Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, and John Ratcliffe, the director of the CIA, were in their testimonies this week, obviously caught in lies. And we'll give you a look at what is now turning out to be the sloppiest cover up ever. But will it even matter? That's coming up on the show right before we get to our Boycott Idaho segment. And I'm going to give you a weird, quirky little reason to boycott Idaho. It's just a weird little bit of law that they've got there. I don't know that it's a bad law or a good law. Actually, it's not a great law because it's deceptive. Anyway, it has to do with fireworks in the state of Idaho, so stay tuned for that. And then to close the show, a radical rant to decry the continuing disappearances of people who stand in opposition to this maladministration. The latest story of Rumeysa Ozturk, a Turkish national who was kidnapped by the Gestapo, by ICE. We've also got a story out of Washington State, an immigrant activist who was also captured by our Gestapo. It's just disgusting what's being done in our name, and it makes me so angry that I have to sometimes find a way to take my mind off of it. I have to find a way to adjust my attitude and make sure that my blood pressure doesn't get too high. And those of you who've been following me for a little while may know that I was the podcaster for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Big fan of the herb. You might have guessed that from my opening theme music. And that leads me to my opening story for the day, which I found to be quite hilarious. The Drug Enforcement Administration is promoting an anti-420-day contest. Yeah, the popularity of 420, the unofficial stoner holiday of April 20th, has gained such notoriety, and legalization now has passed in over half of the U.S. states. Yes, I know, there's only 24 legal states right now, but South Dakota passed legalization. It was just overturned by their Supreme Court on a technicality. And Florida passed legalization with 57%, but they need 60% to put it in their constitution, so it didn't happen. But as far as I'm concerned, 26 states have voted for marijuana legalization. And the DEA is trying to make use of influencers to try to combat this with their anti-420 day. Their message reads, "Be an Instagram influencer for anti-420 day. Johnny's Ambassadors is hiring teens and young adults to create original videos about the harms of youth THC use for anti-420 day. The students who turn in their videos will be eligible for a $25 Amazon gift card for a personal video, $35 for a group video, and $50 for a professionally produced educational video or skit with adult sponsor supervision." They continue by saying, quote, "Your video should either be an educational youth THC prevention video on why young people shouldn't use THC products, vapes, dab, weed, edibles, gummies, or a personal story of how you have been impacted by THC use, yourself, a friend, a family member, or a loved one. They also want some explainers on why THC impacts athletic performance on a team and busting commonly held but incorrect myths about THC. All right, folks, I encourage you to go ahead and turn in those videos. Flood their message lines with all sorts of videos about why people shouldn't use marijuana. I'm sure it'll go over just fine. The kids won't find it cringe at all. Also, before we get started, a couple of follow-up notes. I may have mentioned yesterday about that Pennsylvania state Senate race that was won by the Democrat, by 482 votes. As I described that, I said he had flipped the Pennsylvania state Senate. I misspoke in my notes. It was actually flipped a Pennsylvania state Senate seat, not the entire state Senate. So my apologies for the confusion on that. Also, wanted to give you a little note from my mom. Yeah, my mom, Jacqueline Sue Belleville. She sent me a little note regarding my discussion of the SAVE Act and the attempts by the Trump maladministration to disenfranchise millions of women voters by requiring that their voter registration match their original birth certificate, and how that affects women because so many of them took on their husband's name and it doesn't match their original birth certificate name. And mom let me know that this would certainly affect her because her birth certificate name is Jacqueline Sue Belleville, spelled J-A-C-Q-U-E-L-I-N-N, Jacqueline, L-I-N-N, Sue Belleville. And then she got married. I'm sorry, Jacqueline Sue Morris, excuse me, but L-I-N-E, Jacqueline, right? And then her marriage certificate is Jackie Sue Belleville, Nee Morris, right? So it's got her maiden name on there, but Jackie, not Jacqueline, on her marriage certificate. And then her legal name on all of her driver's license and such is Jacqueline Sue Belleville, but Jacqueline spelled with an L-Y-N, because Jacqueline got misspelled on her original birth certificate with an L-I-N-N. So she's got three different names floating around there, and if any of these acts passed, good luck trying to get registered to vote. So thank you, Mom, for that little note. Bad news to report that four of our soldiers have passed away in Lithuania. They were victims of a training accident. And the saddest part about this is that their commander in chief didn't even know or care. He was addressed by some reporters asking them about the deaths in Lithuania, and he wasn't even aware of them. And the level of disdain and lack of caring from our commander in chief for our veterans and our active duty soldiers makes me furious as a veteran and as an American. It's just disgusting, this man, how he has such a lack of consideration for the sacrifice being put forth by our armed forces. And it always shocks me. I can't get past this, how veterans are out there supporting him. I was walking out yesterday and saw a man, older than myself, who had a Veterans for Trump hat on. I can't imagine a worse combination. Veterans for Trump. After this man had called us suckers and losers, couldn't understand why anyone would join the military, that they were suckers and losers. This guy who wouldn't be seen with a disabled veteran because he thought that disabled people next to him made him look bad. A guy who wouldn't honor our war dead in France because at the time it was raining and he was worried about getting his hair wet. This man does not deserve to be sitting in our Oval Office, does not deserve to be the commander in chief over our troops. That any veteran would support this man means you do not understand the oath that you took when you joined the military. It's just disgusting to me. Because at the same time that this president, so-called president, was ignoring what was happening with our soldiers in Lithuania. His attention was squarely focused on some building in Colorado that had put up a portrait of him that didn't look very good. It was a sloppily painted portrait, kind of distorted features, didn't really look like him. And he spent all day on his Truth Toilet social media complaining about this portrait, demanding that it be taken down. It doesn't look like me. It's terrible. The vanity of this man. He only cares about himself. And it's so frustrating that a large proportion of our country can't see that, or worse, does see it and loves it and appreciates it and thinks it's wonderful. Thinks he's some kind of tough guy, macho America first guy, when it's so obvious. It's just so obvious to the rest of us what a terrible example of a human being he is. And here's another example. He was out speaking for International Women's Month. It's the Women's History Month here in the United States. And so he was giving a presentation and talking once again about he's going to be the fertilization president.
We're going to have tremendous, tremendous goodies in the bag for women, too. The women, between the fertilization and all of the other things that we're talking about, it's going to be great. We're joined today. Fertilization. I'm still very proud of it. I don't care. I'll be known as the fertilization president, and that's okay. That's not bad. I've been called much worse. Actually, I like it, right? I like it.
And for me, it's not so much the idiocy of what he said there. It's the people laughing along. It's the joking and the ha ha and the clown show that is Orange Cheeto Mussolini. That there's people that find this amusing. I think maybe a silver lining to this Trumpocene era that we're living in is it's really ripped the facade off of American society and shown us that there's still about a third of Americans who are Confederates, who want to go back to Jim Crow, who support white supremacy and Christian supremacy and heteronormativity and see no problem with it, who see diversity as an evil, who see women's liberation as anti-God, as wrong, as dangerous. We're going to have this problem to deal with long after Donald Trump is gone. The MAGA movement he has started isn't going away. It's going to take years of proper public education and investment in social services and a safety net before we even get close to eradicating this cancer in our body politic. A properly educated people would never have voted for Donald Trump. A people who have a strong social safety net would never have voted for Donald Trump. It's my firm belief that part of the problem we have here is that Donald Trump is a rebuke of the Democratic Party. Think about it. How upset people were with the idea of Hillary Clinton becoming president and that continued neoliberal dynasty of Clinton and Obama. And they rebelled and they selected Trump. And he was so odious, so terrible. Everything fell apart with COVID and such, that we turned and went back to the neoliberals. We went back to that dynasty, Obama, Clinton, and Biden. We went back to Biden, gave him a chance, and he didn't perform. Didn't pull it out for us. Couldn't raise the minimum wage. Couldn't control prices. And the people just felt like, all right, the status quo is not working. Let's go back to Trump. Let's break some stuff some more. We can't blame all of this on just the MAGA movement. We also have to blame some of this on the failure of Democrats to make life better for the average person. make life better for the working class and for the poor. I talked yesterday about how in democratically run states, places with democratic supermajorities like Oregon and California, people are leaving those states, leaving those cities. I left Portland, Oregon, a city I loved, because the Democrats in charge there couldn't get a handle on the lack of affordable housing, leading to a crisis in homelessness, leading to crime and garbage on the streets and biological waste and terrible places to live. That can't be the solution. But neither can MAGA, neither can this slide into authoritarianism and fascism and white supremacy, and Christian patriarchy and heteronormativity. We need to put a fire under the Democrats to let them know that when this fever does break, when we do get Trump out of office and return Democrats to the White House, we're expecting some tangible results and some big picture thinking to take us into the next iteration of the American experiment. For the people out there that keep talking about our slide into fascism, our descent into fascism, folks, there's no more descent. We are there. We are the bad guys. We are the Nazis at this point. And that is the way the world is increasingly going to see us, especially when the head of the Gestapo, Kristi Noem, the dog killer from South Dakota, made this video that is making the rounds on social media, and it is absolutely abhorrent. I'm going to play the audio for you, but understand the audio isn't the worst part. It's the setting. Kristi Noem is standing there wearing a $60,000 Rolex watch on her wrist and standing in front of the prison in El Salvador where we have been, the concentration camp in El Salvador, where we have been sending the people that we round up because they are Venezuelan and they have tattoos. Even if it's a guy who was a brother of an autistic kid who put the autism awareness tattoo on his arm in support, ICE rounded him up. The Gestapo rounded him up, took him down to El Salvador. The other stories that we've heard of people being rounded up, the gay barber who was rounded up, taken down there because, you know, he must be a terribly dangerous terrorist. Or the guy who was just the soccer fan, put the Real Madrid logo on his arm for a tattoo. That was enough. Off to the concentration camp you go. We are disappearing people based on tattoos at this point. We are sending them to the concentration camps. And so Kristi Noem is down there at the concentration camp in front of the bars. And behind her, you can see the people imprisoned in layers. They're like a whole row of them standing on the first level. And then there's bunks that go two levels higher, like triple bunk beds, that are packed on the second level and packed on the third level. So there's Kristi Noem standing there in her little white outfit and her $60,000 watch in front of a whole three-story tall set of prison bars with nothing but shaved head faces behind her, packed full of men that are being incarcerated there. Here's the audio.
And visiting this facility. And first of all, I want to thank El Salvador and their president for their partnership with the United States of America to bring our terrorists here and to incarcerate them and have consequences for the violence that they have perpetuated in our communities. I also want everybody to know, if you come to our country illegally, this is one of the consequences you could face. First of all, do not come to our country illegally. You will be removed and you will be prosecuted. But know that this facility is one of the tools in our toolkit that we will use.
And when you see this video, you can't help but remember the photos, the iconic photos that came out of World War II when we liberated Auschwitz and Dachau and these concentration camps in Germany And we made sure to document the horrors and the abuse to say never again, never should this happen again in the world. Those famous photos of the Jews and Roma and Gypsy, the disabled, the people in the concentration camps there. The only difference is the bunks are wooden. They're wearing striped outfits. And the photos in black and white. Other than that, these two photos are the same. And they're promoting this. She's promoting this. This is our White House. This is our administration putting this out as if it's a good thing without any hint of shame or embarrassment. I mean, my God, I lived through the Iraq War, and I remember when the Abu Ghraib scandal happened, when the photos came out of how we were abusing the prisoners there, torturing them, leading them around on leashes like dogs. At least George W. Bush was embarrassed by that. At least back then there was some sense it was a scandal that we shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. Now, we've got a third of the country that's cheering it on. That thinks, oh, these are the worst of the worst. It's good. Good thing that we got them out down there in the concentration camp. Folks, I don't care if they're the worst of the worst. I don't care if they've picked up a terrible, evil gang member who slit the throats of families and distributed fentanyl to the world. I don't care. If a person's that terrible, we've got courts for that. We've got jails for that here in America. But the minute we start throwing away our due process rights, our constitutional rights, if they don't apply to the worst of the worst, they don't apply to anybody. You don't get to just pick and choose who has rights. You don't get to just trust that the government knows what they're doing when they're picking up the worst of the worst, when apparently they're picking up kids with the autism tattoo on them. And the media, on reporting on this, needs to start adjusting their framework of how they report on this. I'm tired of seeing these reports coming across, oh, the incompetence, oh, the negligence, oh, they don't know what they're doing. No, they know exactly what they're doing. This is evil. Call it out. It is evil men doing evil things, and in this case, an evil woman doing evil things. This is evil being done in our name. This is a stain on America that will last the rest of my life. We'll be lucky if we are ever welcomed back into the league of nations that are developed and civilized nations. That we will ever be considered the leader of the free world again is highly in doubt. How can the world ever trust us after this? And the frightening thing about this is the fear that nobody involved with this is going to face any consequences. My God, I sure hope they do. I sure hope that there are war crimes trials. I sure hope that the next Democrats that come around wanting to occupy our White House don't give us any of that, let's move on, let's put this behind us kind of talk. I don't want to see a Nixon pardon situation again. I really believe that the next Democrat to be running for office, if they campaigned on a platform of we are going to put these criminal fuckers behind bars, could win a landslide election. That's a big part of what's going on in this country is the feeling that nobody really cares and nothing really matters. Donald Trump had our top secrets in his bathroom at Mar-a-Lago. Nobody cares, doesn't really matter. Donald Trump instigated an insurrection at our Capitol, attempting to murder the vice president. Nobody cares, nothing's going to happen. And I fear for that setting in into our collective psyche, that the powerful can't be held to account, that there is no hope. And that's what the dictator wants. That's what the authoritarian wants, is us to give up and have that cynicism to think it can never happen. The Democrat who latches onto that feeling, that want for justice, that longing for consequences for the powerful who commit the evil acts. We need to see it happen. We need to undo this culture of forgiveness for the rich and powerful that began when Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, in my opinion. When it comes to the media coverage of this Signal scandal, once again, the cover-up is worse than the crime. Not in real life. I mean, the crime itself here of detailing our attack plans on an unsecure app, that's a huge issue. That's a huge crime that we should all be upset about. But the media loves to cover the cover-up. And I think this is where the Trumpies have made a little bit of a mistake. They could have just come right out at the beginning and said, oh, yeah, we accidentally added this guy to the chat. Big mistake. Won't do it again. That might have opened up some questions about why they were using Signal, but the furor, I believe, wouldn't have been as great. But the minute Pete Hegseth came out and said, oh, this Jeffrey Goldberg, he's a liar, he's a fraud, he's trying to get Trump, there was no war plans discussed. The minute they started trying to defuse and deny this, when it had already been acknowledged by the Department of Defense, and then the next day, when the full transcripts are released, showing them to be absolute liars. And in fact, let's go back. Just a couple days ago, we played this audio for you on the first day of testimony when Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence and known Russian asset, and John Ratcliffe, the director of the CIA, were being questioned about their knowledge of accurate movements of equipment, of attack plans, and detailed timing.
Was there any mention, Ms. Gabbard, of a weapon or weapon system?
I don't recall specific weapons systems being named.
I don't recall. How about anything about timing?
I don't recall specific timing.
Any mention of any military unit whatsoever?
Not that I recall.
Ms. Gabbard?
Not that I recall.
The discussion included the vice president's private opinion on the wisdom of proposed U.S. strikes in Yemen, correct?
I don't recall.
It included the private opinions of the Secretary of Defense on the timing of strikes in Yemen, correct?
I don't recall.
And so here's Tulsi Gabbard the very next day being questioned by Representative Himes, ranking member on the committee, as to her perjury the day before.
Ranking member, my answer yesterday was based on my recollection or the lack thereof on the details that were posted there. I was not, and what was shared today reflects the fact that I was not directly involved with that part of the Signal chat and replied at the end reflecting the effects, the very brief effects that the National Security Advisor had shared.
So it's your testimony that less than 2 weeks ago you were on a Signal chat that had all of this information about F-18s and MQ-9 Reapers and targets on strike, and you in that two-week period simply forgot that that was there. That's your testimony?
My testimony is I did not recall the exact details of what was included there.
That was not your testimony. Your testimony was that you were not aware of anything related to weapons packages, targets, and timing.
He's not even good at making up excuses for missing things in a group chat. He was saying, I don't recall, don't recall the exact details. So that means you do recall that there were something going on in there, right? The better excuse there is to say, I wasn't watching that part of the chat. I was busy at that time. That part of the chat scrolled by before I ever saw it. She's actually admitting that she had seen everything in the chat, but just couldn't remember it. Couldn't remember the details. Even though she wasn't necessarily being asked for the details, she was asking if there were any details, right? It's not like she was saying, tell me exactly what type of plane was used and what time it went out. She was being asked, were there details on exact time and exact planes? You don't have to remember exactly which plane it was to remember that there was details about planes. Okay, so obviously lying, obviously dissembling. This is the laziest, sloppiest cover-up I've ever seen. And probably because they know MAGA don't care. why bother to put together any sort of professional, well-layered, intelligent, logical cover-up when it doesn't matter? Again, Trump had top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago. Nothing happened. Nobody cared. And if they feel they can just roll over this, because the number one rule in Trump world is to never admit wrongdoing, never apologize, always be on the attack. That's something he learned from Roy Cohn, his mentor. And that's what they're doing. And that's what everybody below Trump recognizes they're supposed to do. That's why Pete Hegseth, immediately on the tarmac when he was confronted this, went right into his Fox News smear the lefty journalist mode, not even realizing that what he was talking about had already been confirmed. Because it didn't matter. It's always go on the attack, never admit wrongdoing, never apologize. They got a hold of Trump to ask him about this, what's going on with it, and he had a very novel idea as to what the problem might be.
I want to find if there's any mistake or if a signal doesn't work. It could be the signal is not very good. You know, it's a company. Maybe it's not very good. I think we'd rather know about it now. There was no harm done because the attack was unbelievably successful that night. I don't know that signal works. I think signal could be defective, to be honest with you. And I think that's what we have to, because you use signal and we use signal and everybody uses signal, but it could be a defective platform. And we're going to have to find that out. There may be a problem with the platform. And if there's a problem with the platform, nobody should use it. You know, they could have a basic problem.
Yeah, that's it. It's the app. There's something wrong with the platform. It's the app. There is some sort of bug in the Signal app that accidentally adds reporters from the Atlantic to your group chats. It must be the software. He's not even trying to come up. Maybe it's Signal. Maybe it's the app that's the problem. You have better excuses from teenagers for why they didn't do their homework the night before. Oh, it was my phone. The app messed up. Come on. And there's a couple other things to unpack in that statement, too, as well. That the operation, it was no big deal. It was no big deal that we were leaking operational secrets and attack plans to a reporter on an unsecured app on unsecured phones. That's no big deal because the attack was successful. No big deal because we managed to flatten the apartment building with the one guy in it. We managed to kill 53 people. It was all successful. No big deal. No harm, no foul, right? Yeah, that's like the drunk telling you it was no big deal that he drove drunk home from the bar. He made it home okay. He didn't run into anybody. No big deal. Man, this is just unbelievable. And the other thing about this that I think is telling is that this comes after the big DEI purge. Oh, we got to get rid of DEI. We got to get rid of DEI. The shortest way to spell the N-word, DEI. They get rid of the competent four-star general running the Department of Defense. They get rid of the black and female members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And what do you have left? Unadulterated white male incompetency. That's what we're getting. We're getting a good look at what they think a merit-based system should look like. For Boycott Idaho, our regular segment on why you should avoid the handmade state, and in particular, why you should boycott the Idaho potato. No red state is more singularly associated with one product than Idaho and the potato. Let's send a message to the red states out there by picking on one of them and showing our economic might. The blue states should no longer subsidize these red states and their backward regressive policies. So let's pick on Idaho. After all, I've got a grudge. So today I want to talk about a weird law in Idaho that you may not know about, having to do with fireworks. Kind of a odd thing to talk about in the middle of March, but what the hell? So Idaho has a law against aerial fireworks. Cannot light off, you know, bottle rockets and Roman candles and the kind of things that would fly through the air in this very rural state. and possibly cause forest fires or house fires or range fires. So that's a good law. I think everybody would appreciate that as a law. And it's the law in most of the Western states that you can't have aerial fireworks. Makes sense. However, in Idaho, you can buy aerial fireworks just so long as you promise not to use them. Yeah, I'm absolutely serious. In Idaho, you can sell aerial fireworks that are illegal to use in the state. So long as the customer who buys the fireworks that are illegal to shoot in Idaho signs an affidavit that says, I promise I won't shoot these fireworks off in Idaho. I promise I will only shoot them off in a state where aerial fireworks are legal. And as I told you, aerial fireworks aren't legal in the Western states for the most part. In fact, the nearest Western state you can go to fire off those aerial fireworks is North Dakota. So, you're buying fireworks in Idaho, and you sign this little note that says, I promise I won't shoot them off except for a legal state. The next thing you have to do is get in your car and drive all the way across Montana to get to North Dakota so you can shoot your fireworks off. Because that's what you'll do, because you'd never break the law, right? Wink. Of course not. So what, we literally have a store on I-84, Interstate 84 westbound, heading out toward toward Oregon, between Boise and the Oregon state line, literally about halfway in between. I think it's exit 26, if I remember correctly. There's a fireworks store there. Big old building, right? You know, huge letters. Fireworks. You can see it from the freeway. And when you go in there, at least the last time I went in there, maybe they've changed since then, but when you go in there, the floor is painted. And on one side, one half of the floor is red. The other half of the floor is blue. If you go on the blue side, that's where all the legal fireworks are. You know, your snakes and your sparklers and your spinners and those kind of things. You can buy those over there on the blue side, the legal fireworks. And then on the red side are all the aerial illegal fireworks. And if you buy anything from that side, well, you got to sign a little piece of paper. Promise you won't light them off. Well, of course, people end up lighting them off. Of course they do, right? So you every year have stories in Boise of some range fire that's been started, some suburb that's in danger, some idiot that blew off a few fingers from these illegal fireworks that are illegal to use, so long as you just sign a paper saying you won't use them in here. Now, why does this upset me so? Why is this some reason to boycott Idaho? Because of the hypocrisy. Because of this wink, wink, nudge, nudge that, oh, here's something that's illegal if you promise not to use it here. But meanwhile, the entire state is surrounded by legal marijuana states. And you got patients in the state of Idaho who could benefit greatly from the medical use of cannabis. And one of the reasons they always give to fight against legalizing it, even for medical purposes in Idaho, is the fact that it's illegal. It's illegal federally. Oh, now we have a sudden respect for the law. Now it's a big deal. We can't let someone smoke a joint to treat their cancer chemotherapy nausea. But if you want to buy a Roman candle and light it off somewhere outside of the state of Idaho, sign a little note, we'll let you do that. No problem. That's my issue with it. It's just the rank hypocrisy of such things. That's my reason today to boycott Idaho, avoid the handmade state. Today in the Radical Rant, I want to talk about the kidnapping by the Gestapo of Rumeysa Ozturk. ICE approached her and kidnapped her this week. She's a Turkish national who's attending Tufts University on an F1 visa. She's a PhD student, right? So she's followed the rules as far as coming to this country to study on an international visa. And the video showing her abduction is chilling. In the video, she's approached by a man in plain clothes, kind of black vest looking guy, black cap, and immediately grabbed. And as she shrieks and recoils from the being grabbed, other men, also in black, surround her. And they cuff her, and they have masks over their face, so they can't be visually identified, and nothing on them reveals that they're ICE, that they're police. There's no badges being shown. Not until the very end, after they've already got her cuffed, do they show anyone some badges. You can even hear in the video a young man who is observing what's going on saying, "What are you doing? Are you the police?" They say, "We're the police." He says, "You don't look like police. Why are your faces covered?" We are at that point. We are now at the point where the fascist government can just grab us off the streets and disappear us. Now, what was their excuse for grabbing her, this Turkish national PhD student? Well, apparently, she committed the heinous crime of writing an op-ed. Yeah, she wrote an opinion piece for the student paper criticizing Tufts University and its response to the ongoing genocide in Palestine. She wrote an op-ed. She expressed an opinion in the United States of America, and that was enough for our Gestapo to abduct her off the streets and send her to an ICE detention facility. She wrote an op-ed. Now, the people in ICE will tell you she was arrested for her support of Hamas. She's got support for Hamas, because in this regime, if you're of the opinion that Palestinians are human beings and ought not be wiped off the face of the earth, why, you're a terrorist sympathizer. I got no love for Hamas. They're terrorists. They're killers. But they are not one and the same as the Palestinian people or the people who support the Palestinian people. This conflation of support for Palestine with support for Hamas is as evil and wrong as the conflation of criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. It's two sides of the same coin. We can criticize evil without criticizing people. What Bibi Netanyahu and Israel are up to is evil. That doesn't mean that you hate Jews. What Hamas did and has done is evil. But that does not mean your support for Palestinians means you support Hamas. And the more this occurs, the greater the stain on our nation, the greater the moral rot in this country. We are now the country that disappears people without probable cause, without warrants, without contact with their lawyers, and shipped off overseas to gulags, incommunicado with their family, with any sort of legal support. This is what we've become. I don't know who else is going to have to be disappeared or how many have to be disappeared before there's an uprising against this. And the other thing I worry about is this is the United States of America, and some of us are armed. If I'm approached in public by an unidentified man or men in black wearing masks over their face attempting to abduct me, they're going to get a taste of my 9mm. I've got a concealed carry permit, and I am often concealed carrying, as are many Americans. What happens when these ICE Gestapo approach one of us and without identification start trying to grab at us? And we as Americans, with our Second Amendment right to defend ourselves, avail ourselves of that right The next thing you know, there's shootouts in the streets. And then the American who defends themselves using their Second Amendment right, the next thing they know, they're up on charges of killing a police officer. That's where this is headed. There are far too many guns in this country for these kind of abductions to keep taking place without somebody responding to them with force. This is why we have our checks and balances. This is why we have our due process. This is why we have our constitutional rights, is to make sure that the authorities can't abuse us. The Constitution and our rights aren't there for the rich and powerful. The rich and powerful have all the rights they'll ever need. Well, abortion's illegal, they'll just fly somewhere where it's legal. Well, they can't criticize the president, they'll find a way to get around that. The rich and powerful, their rights are portable. It's us, the poor and downtrodden, the people without the power, who depend on that due process and who depend on our civil liberties to keep us safe from a tyrannical government. And speaking of tyrannical government, where the fuck are all you NRA guys? How long had I grown up in the state of Idaho around all you gun humpers who told me, oh, we got the Second Amendment's the amendment that protects all the rest of them. We got to have a Second Amendment to put down a case government gets tyrannical. We got the Second Amendment to keep the government in their place, fight back against tyranny. Well, it's here. Tyranny's here. Crickets from your side. Don't see a whole lot of you standing up for the Constitution now. People's right to be free from interference without warrants. People's Fourth Amendment rights to be secure in their persons, papers, houses, and effects. Where are you gun nuts now? Well, I guess you just forgot to rise up against the tyrannical government, huh? Oh, I guess the Masked Singer was on or something. You guys were full of shit the whole time, weren't you? It never had anything to do with putting down a tyrannical government or standing up for our civil liberties. It's the fact that you like your pew-pew. You like your bang-bang. It's a fun hobby. That's all it ever was to you. It had nothing to do with protecting the rest of the rights. That's another thing this has exposed, the absolute moral bankruptcy of the right and the gun movement. And again, I'm not anti-gun. I'm a concealed carry holder. I'm anti-gun nut. I'm anti this jingoistic NRA macho posturing with guns. But when it really comes down to it, when the time comes that we should be rebelling against a tyranny, you guys are nowhere to be found. In fact, you guys are cheering it on. You love the tyranny. As long as it's going against them, oh, it's going to MS-13 and Trende Aragua. As long as it's evil brown people, no problem. We're all for the tyranny. Well, guys, that tyranny's coming for us, too. Don't think that being white and delightsome is going to get you out of this tyranny. The tyranny is coming for us, too. Another person who's been abducted by our Gestapo, by ICE, up in Washington State, an immigrant activist, 25-year-old Lelo Juarez. He was abducted when he was taking his girlfriend to work. Picked up by ICE, took him to a detention facility. What's his crime? He's an organizer. He organizes immigrant communities to fight for better wages and better working conditions. That's his crime. He's an organizer, trying to make people's lives better. The tyranny will not stop with just the brown faces. The tyranny is coming for us all. And I hope this country still has enough real patriots left in it. We may do something about it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Well, folks, that's all the time I've got today for the podcast. And you may have noticed that the podcasts are of varying length. Some days I'll go over an hour. Some days I might only have a half hour worth of stuff to say, but hey, you know what? It's my hobby, so I can do this any way I want to. The Radical Rush Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by freestockmusic.com and by VTEMO, courtesy of freetouse.com/music. You can contact me by email at radicalruss@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalruss.com and nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at radicalruss.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other.